The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Didn't get herself ejected in the state final for some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield 88.1 WSBR. Lee, Jesse, and Mike, and this is the final broadcast of this sports season. We will...
One of the main characters has to die.
Wow. Okay. All right. Howard isn't here, so that's fine. Also, just not him, but like his character, the character of the small baby running around the studio is no longer here.
This is so true.
Next season,
we're looking for a more mature show next year.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I know for a fact that Henry will be giving some real analysis next season. I think that he could easily talk about the, you know, tactical advantages of Volcona versus Taconic football. In any case, final episode of the season. We'll come back probably late August. Something like that, maybe early September, probably late August, when the football preseason kicks off, when we'll start having cross country and golf and the like.
Yeah, I haven't looked at schedule, but yeah, Labor Day is late this year. I know that.
Okay. Yeah. So get ready for like 3 week zeros in the football season instead of just having nine games. Yes. Just have nine games. You can do it. Anyway.
What up, nine? what nine games? We have six teams.
We are... No. I mean, like, the statewide. Like, allow them to have...
Cause it's games in the season.
Yeah, games in the season. It's already a nine-week season. They say you can only play eight. Just play nine. It's that, you know, take away a consolation game. All these Eastern Mass coaches have their heads somewhere where it's stuck somewhere where it's just like, we want to have an eight-game tournament. No, just have a nine-game regular season. This will solve all the problems. Anyway, we were talking about the best moments of the sports season. Big moments, big games, things to remember. Speaking of football, I put this in our top 10 moments year in review. The Hoosic Valley Wacona football game, which was just a spectacular football game to kick off this past season. Didn't know that Wacona was going to have the year it did, but it just, you know, it went blow for blow, punch for punch with Hoosic. Hoosic team that went to the quarterfinals in the States, went 7-1 in the regular season. And yeah, it was just an incredible game. I mean, you had the drama of Ben Payton, you know, weeks notice getting the start at quarterback, Kamarion Kastner moving to receiver. You had Gio Venable in his first start at Wacona, where he had transferred to. Venable was kind of electric all over the field, had an interception.
He was a transfer? I didn't know he was a transfer.
Yeah, I had known the name because he had been to Taconic. Freshman and sophomore year, he was at Taconic.
Oh, I had no idea.
And then he transferred to Wacona and had his breakout.
Okay.
He was just kind of electric as a playmaker all over the field and offense. He got an interception on defense, had a 70-yard touchdown, kick return. Hoosick takes a 12-0 lead in the second quarter, and Wacona scores 22 straight points starting with that kick return from Venable. And it's 22-12, and you're like, hold on. You know, for we had been talking about Hoosick as, you know, this is your year. And like, is Wacona just going to do this thing? You know, this is what they do. And it was just a phenomenally coached game by Gary Campbell Jr. And then Hoosier comes back in the second half, and they were leaning on Wacona, which was a little thin, didn't have Jerry Bowe run. And, you know, you see, okay, this is Kamarion Kastner, 3 years at quarterback. Now he wants to be a receiver. That's going to throw things off. But at the same time, you see why maybe him being a receiver is a nice thing. Because just the talent and the explosiveness he has, you know, he and Ben Payton hooked up a few times, and both of them were like 50-yard touchdown passes. And he just takes off and he's gone. And Quinnell Bradley's makes some big plays. Aiden Wicks has some great plays on defense. And Hoosick wins 36-30, comes back to win 36-30. And it's just, they're just everything you want. Right, where like everybody from Adams, Cheshire, and Dalton are there. Just people ringing around the fence at Hoosick. Great weather, great atmosphere. Just a phenomenal football game to start off the season.
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't know we were going that far back.
I mean, literally, just like they'll be in the fall.
Okay. I just saw like, oh, top memories of the spring.
I mean, I said the whole year.
Okay,
I did
whole
say
year.
The whole year.
Okay, yeah. Then,
I mean, you tell you what, hit us with one of the ones you have
to
for
be.
The
to be honest, this was my plan to do last night, and then my day / 24-hour period has been ruined by Brad Stevens. So,
oh yes,
I was unable to do much research into like, oh, what did I like about this past year? Because now I hate everything and I hate everyone.
I did text Mike late last night when I saw it. To be fair, so. I think it was at the office.
Not even late. You texted me. I was at the Little League game.
Right, yeah.
It ruined my Little League. Yeah. It ruined the Don Gleason Little League opener I was at.
It was like 6 o'clock and I'm doing work at the office and I see the group chat for my friend's bachelor party go crazy. And I'm like, what's all this? And then I see somebody go, what is it? Why did we just trade Jaylen Brown for Paul George? Like, yeah. What am I seeing right now? And I text like, wait, you're not lying? Because I see the, you know, like on Twitter, the Shams tweet.
Yeah, Shams had
that.
I
thought he was just like, yeah, you know, lying, joking about this.
Yep. I think I opened your message first before I looked at the ESPN notification. And I think I just said, ugh, gross. And then, yeah,
yep,
that was pretty much my feelings for the next hour.
What you said, ugh,
I called my dad. He was at a biker bar with my little brother who was up there for the fourth. And I'm like, is that it? Is that all they're doing? And he's like, oh, what do you mean? He was talking about, I didn't even double check him on this. Michael Conley?
No.
No, I don't know what the heck he was talking about then. And I'm like, yeah, they're like, for older, worse, Jaylen Brown is now a Celtic.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand
like,
why.
Yeah, if you want to join us at Hopley to watch the World Cup, and then you texted back.
Sorry,
Jaylen Brown thing messed me up, and now I'm distracted, and I can't write my story.
Yeah, I had to work, and then, yeah, work took longer than expected, because I just kept being like, stopping and thinking for a minute and shaking my head, and then I was just out in the parking lot like trying to listen to some stuff because I'm like, I need someone to convince me that this is like okay, or any silver lining, anything to feel excited or intrigued about from this. And that was the biggest thing, was like if they're gonna have to do this, which clearly they had to do it, but nothing's really come out
it.
Nothing like,
yeah.
Jaylen hasn't outright
said
like, we need to trade, and he's not exactly a quiet, reserved guy.
No.
He's out there doing his whatever video game stuff.
It always felt like the best case for both the Celtics and Jaylen Brown was that they were going to kiss and make up.
This was the best case for the 76ers.
For the 76ers, yeah.
Yes.
No, but for the Celtics and Jaylen Brown, it made like, you know, okay, look.
Yes.
I mean,
sure.
I'm going to pull a Dylan
Time here. Heals all wounds.
Time heal. Not much time has passed.
Well, there could have been. Like, they didn't have to do this.
Yeah, like, you know,
he's under contract.
Jaylen hadn't demanded
obscene
a trade.
Money.
He talked about wanting to play another 10 years in Boston. Like, yeah, just say, look, we wanted to get Giannis. We're sorry about that.
We're
going to
win 60 games.
Like, yeah, I don't. So the fact that then they felt, I don't know, if they really believed he didn't want to be there. Then I guess there's the pressure to trade him now because he's like, I don't want to come back. You wanted to trade me.
But
gone.
Is he gonna like?
But he never said that.
Then wait for that to happen.
He at
that
least
would be
never
my thing.
Publicly
wait
said
for
that.
Him to cause a problem,
yeah.
Or not show up, or what? I don't know what you can do in basketball.
I don't know why he felt like so. Why Brad Stevens felt so pressured as like we gotta move him now. You know, like the
I don't know if it's optics and he just felt like he looked bad.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't.
Now he looks
he's
worse.
Never looked bad in his life.
Yeah.
Like Brad Stevens has had. Like I said, he's outstanding at what he's done, and his career trajectory is kind of absurd. But he's never like been the bad guy or really done anything that someone would be like, "You,
he's not
you
Danny
stink."
Ainge. No, I mean the joke I made was Nico Harrison set the trade bar for horrific, astronomically
that,
terrible
yes.
trades so high. Every other GM knows that they can't match it, so now they feel okay doing bad trades. You know?
That said, I would have preferred to get back Anthony Davis, I think, over Paul George. And Paul George, I saw he hasn't played more than like 30 games in 7 years or something like that. Like he hasn't played more than half the season
this year. He was solid.
He played 30 odd games, and yes, he ate Jaylen Brown's lunch in the playoffs. So I guess there's that. But I just like the
aren't
the things
Boston
that were coming
fan?
In.
You don't care about 80 games. You care about 16. Isn't that what all you Boston fans say?
I don't know. I don't know that I've said that.
All right.
I care about the one game that they couldn't like This is again all Jalen's fault. You didn't beat Philly. You could have just beaten Philly. None of this would be an issue.
Assuming Embiid stays healthy, Embiid, Jalen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, and Vijay Adichie is a disgusting core. That should be really, really good. All right. In any case, moving on from Mike's.
Sorry, just, you want like a happy memory?
Give me a happy memory. Happy from the spring, memory. Mike. Not the an spring. Angry memory.
The one that I was thinking about. Maybe just because it wasn't something that, like, it wasn't a championship or a big win or anything, like, nothing really ultimately came out of it, but it was a kind of a random track meet. Cohen Zahn decided, I think he was hoping to go up against Everett Pacheco, so it was at Monument Mountain, and he was like, oh, I'm going to go after the school record in the 2 mile, and Pacheco was not running that day. But Cohen still like went out and just took this absurd pace to a solo 2 mile. And it was just kind of the fun part of a 2 mile is that there's kind of growing anticipation with, you know, like over 8 laps. And it was just kind of more and more kids heading to that side. And then the crowd or the gallery just kind of thickened over the course of his race as people were like, what's he at? And crosses again. Seth Aiken screams out what he's at. He comes back again. More kids are like, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? Because he's running at an absurd pace. And ultimately, he did not set any record. I think he ran like a 940 or something like that, or a 950.
Was it a PR?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was still his best.
So, okay. So a PR
up to that
school
point.
Record.
Up to that point. But sure. Yes. Yeah. It wasn't like, it didn't wind up being close to a school record, right. I don't think. So that's why it kind of goes by the wayside. But just, it was during that period where I was like, oh my God, nobody's ever going to race each other.
Right. Yes.
And
it's
just kind of growing frustrations on load management in high school athletics. And, He went out and did it, and I was like, oh, thank you for doing that. That was fun. That was a good event. That will stand out in my mind. Just kind of, gain some respect, I guess, for me. And then, of course, once they did race each other, it was a terrible mile at Western Mass that nobody knew what the heck they were doing. And it created this chaos where Frontier took the first and second spots. So, anyway. That was kind of a something that stuck out as a non front page memory, so to speak, because you obviously have the big wins and, you know, the Drury Husick basketball is the best thing I attended this year.
I think that's if you want to think of other season memories while I talk, I mean, the Drury Husick, because I got to cover both the quarterfinal games. The girls and Hoosier girls played on a Friday night, and then the boys played on the Saturday morning in a matinee, and that was just exceptional. Both games were exceptional basketball. They were both really hard-fought games. The crowds were spectacular. You know, you had fire marshals there cutting off lines at the door. You know, you had pre-games tickets sold out. And then, you know, the final scores were close games. You had Drury girls beating Husick, their first Final Four. You know, and I liked what Ian Downey, the Drury coach, said. You know, this was a team that it was worthy for us to beat to reach the Final Four. You know, this has been the standard bearer, and they are our rival, and we beat them, you know. And on the other side, for the boys, I remember Mike and I just going back and forth with each other being like, so Jorge Bond is just like the best player here, even though Husick's winning. But like, everybody, like, you know, it's Bond. You know, he's got like 20 some points. He's got 10 rebounds or whatever. He's got all these assists. He's just doing everything possible. And then then Aiden Wicks and Quinnell Bradley just refused to lose. That's really what it was. You know, Aiden Wicks' third quarter is something I will always remember, because the entire Husick Valley basketball team did not score a single point in the third quarter except for Aiden Wicks. And Drury put up 21 points in the third. 21 points in 8 minutes is insane. And he himself scored 21 points. And the three-pointers he took just don't make any sense. I mean, he was pulling up 3 feet in front of the three-point line and just firing and canning them. You know, he had defenders in his grill, and he was shooting over and making it, and it just was incredible to watch, where he just the entire scoring burden is on his shoulders, and he keeps shooting and he keeps making it, and because of that, Husick is still in the game, and then he doesn't score the rest of the game, you know, but the he kind of just kept his team afloat so that they could win in the fourth quarter. And Husik knocks off Drury and then goes on to win the state championship. And so, yeah, it was just insane to watch. The level of play, the crowd, you know, the face paint everywhere, like all that kind of stuff. And then actually, speaking of face paint, I also very much remember fondly the Drury boys student section. The Drury student section, but the boys in the student section during the Drury girls basketball semifinal, who painted Blue Devils on their chest, which was just a ton of fun. Yeah, I don't know. Mike, do you now have a fall or winter memory to...
I mean, just like sticking with Wicks, I was at a Taconic game where I'm trying to... Yeah, he had 30 in the first half.
Didn't he finish with 34?
He did only finish with 34, so it was a little bit of a drop-off. You know, didn't wind up being this crazy story, but he had, 30 in the first half. I think he had... He had 8 threes in the first half, 30 points at Taconic, and that was kind of when they were scuffling a bit. So that was, I think, a big win over, you know, a historic team, I guess. Taconic was not, you know,
it was not good.
What it's been. This was their first year not making a Final Four, and I think like 8 years or something. So
they didn't even make playoffs.
So that one stuck out. Basketball, just going back to the Berkshire League opener, was Pittsfield at Drury. It was Drury's second game, Pittsfield's first, and getting like Jerome to do like postseason kind of stuff, interacting with the fans and just kind of losing it. It was a crazy late game comeback for them, and that was a signal that okay, we're in for something fun this year with this Berkshire League returning thing.
All right, no. Keep thinking. Okay. We'll take a little break.
Sure.
We will be back shortly. Do want to remind everyone that the Pittsfield 4th of July is celebrating generations this year, and Pittsfield Community Televisions is bringing you live coverage. Join PCTV on July 4th, beginning at 9:30 a.m. for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield on PCTV Access, Pittsfield Channel 1301, PCTV Select 1, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. You can find the live stream. Live coverage of the 4th of July parade is supported by Greylock Federal Credit Union, Boys and Girls Club of the Berkshires, HUD Puckish Pub and Grill, and Beacon Bank. You might be able to see Mike run in the 4th of July race. We'll see.
4th of July, I don't know, is this still a read or can I chime in?
No. Okay. Yeah, when we come back, right back, folks. Stick with us here on 89.7 88.1.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world, and it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
All right, welcome back.
I had some numbers for working on to preview Saturday's race. They were poised to break their record for registrations, which was back in 2015. So it was like I was looking back the last. So when the race falls on a Saturday. That's obviously going to be your kind of peak. Unfortunately, the last time 4th of July was on a Saturday, a little year called 2020, when there was no race and there was no anything fun. Prior to that was 2015. 1,272 runners finished the race. I guess there were over 1,400, according to Howard Herman's story. 1,400 registered, and they were poised to break that either yesterday or today. I got the numbers as of yesterday morning. There were 1,287 signed up for Saturday's 5K.
It's pretty good.
So, yeah, it's going to be a huge, huge Saturday parade race, big day, even though there'll be no fireworks. So it's a whole different bag of worms.
All right. Let's see. I do agree. Before we left, we were talking about our best moments from the season, things we remembered, games we remembered, covered. I agree. The Berkshire League was a lot of fun. Pittsfield-Wakona's first game was kind of crazy. Thriller before Christmas. Also, the Lee Husick football game was a great game. Lee won. I will always remember after the game, Quinnell Bradley sitting on the bench by himself post game, because he had a fumble in the fourth quarter that was the game, because then Lee got the ball, took, I don't know, 8 minutes off the clock and scored, and that was it. I think that one of the big memories for me, unfortunately, was the day where it was like 38 degrees out and everyone kept playing baseball and softball, and I had to cover the Lennox Taconic softball game, and it had snowed like an hour earlier. And so I was just like in my winter jacket, even though it was bright out, but it was 38 degrees and I'm just like freezing the entire time, and no pitcher could hold onto the ball. So that was just kind of a miserable day.
We're talking like worst memories.
I know.
Halloween was on a Friday and it was terrible.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. It's like that was one that stood out, even though it wasn't a good one, I guess.
Sure. I think it was fun to revisit some of the. So we had Wakona Greylock girls lacrosse in the spring, and obviously the game was kind of nuts. Greylock was up 6-0 and then winds up losing. But it gave me the opportunity to, I was at a track meet and I was talking to Lindsay Von Holtz, the Greylock athletic director, who was the longtime girls lacrosse coach at Greylock, and kind of like thinking back to like, oh yeah, like there's some real like heat to this rivalry. To I mean, back then for her it was more Husick, I think, than Wakona based, but like seeing actual a legit local, like, these are the two best teams, two of the top teams of Western Mass, and they're here and they're going to face each other. They were on this, you know, trajectory all season long. I think there was a rain out that pushed, so they played three times in the span of like 3 weeks, I think, at the end of the season.
Two times. The first game was pretty early.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it got pushed because of rain, but maybe not pushed super far. But yeah, getting that kind of coming to fruition, even though, you know, it's something we expected to see all year, and then getting to see it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. No, they played twice in the span of like 5 days. So I think their second game was on a Thursday, and then on the Saturday, Sunday, they each played their semifinal game, and then they played in the championship on Tuesday. So it really was like a 5-game period where they played twice. But to me, to what you were, to add to what you were saying, I remember after the second game, you know, because like Greylock disappointed, lost 11-10, and Wakona is happy that it won, and both Kathy Budaj, the Wakona coach, and Jeff Stripp, the Greylock coach, are both going, yeah, we're gonna play next, you know, we're gonna play next week, like, we're like, this, you know, I can't wait to go
foregone conclusion. Yes,
you know, so it was just kind of, they knew they were going to see each other, and yeah,
three games, 3-1 goal games is kind of nuts.
It's pretty incredible. And you know, for Greylock, like, they were up 6-0, and then their, I don't know, second or third best player gets her second yellow in the span of a minute, and she's out for the rest of the game. And their goalie gets hurt and is out, and now you have a freshman who's like a foot shorter coming in, and she just stands on her head, you know, and just plays great. And so, yeah, just like, those are things I also remember for that game, other than it being really hot. But yeah, those are just a fun rivalry. Let me see what else. I think that in the spring too, watching Husick's softball run, undefeated season, Western Mass championship, was pretty incredible. The game against Wakona, the second game, the one in Dalton, I will always remember, because Izzy Tart did something that I kind of believed was impossible, and she hit an out-of-the-park home run at Pine Grove Park, which, I mean, Dustin Belcher has been the head coach there for 18 years. He's been an assistant for even longer. And, like, the staff said, and they have at least 25 years of knowledge, you know, there only one girl has ever hit a high school out-of-the-park home run here. And the fact that Izzy Tart then hit the second one ever, at least since, you know, the 21st century, is insane. You know, and when she hit it, I didn't think it went over, because the fence, the center field fence, is kind of leaned back, and I saw it hit the fence and then drop. And then I see the outfielder put her arms up, and everyone's going crazy. And the fence behind, like, you know, the baseball field opposite, it hit the fence. It went over so far, it went over the softball outfield fence and hit the baseball fence, which is like a few feet behind, and drop down. I just lost. I was like, you know, I'm literally, I was talking to people, Jeff Polari, who's a KD, talking to some other people from Wakona, like, oh yeah, no one's ever hit it out. It's impossible. You know, or well, there's only one person who did whatever, you know, and then somebody does it. Yeah, it was just like, just something I imagined could not happen. So yeah, I will always remember that. I mean, that's 265,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, to be clear, 215 is most softball fields in Western Mass. Like, that's considered long. And she hit it 265. Just, yeah, unbelievable stuff.
The getting to, is kind of a different kind of story to write, was going out to McCantech's ice hockey Western Mass semifinal out at Olympia. And then ultimately they did lose the Western Mass title. I was at that as well. But it was kind of a, like, the story was essentially like, how do you do this? How do you introduce yourself? Like, people have no idea, like, McCantech even had a hockey program, I would imagine, in certain parts of the state. To go from, yeah, like, never winning more than a couple games to, yeah, like, they were the one seed, and everyone was kind of looking up at them being like, what happened? How'd you get there? So, yeah, their kind of year, and that getting to tell that kind of different type of story than a team that's, you know, always there was a unique situation. And then the other, like, just like we talked about it here, but walking up to that baseball game, Pittsfield's, I guess it was Western Mass semi.
Semifinal, yeah, just Frontier.
Yeah, just kind of walking up, and like I was unaware of everything. I think I had maybe I was probably busy. I think I had the kids with me, so I rejected a call from Greg Sakenek.
Yep.
Just be like, I'll call you back later. I got the kids, and I'm trying to get to this game. And then you texted me. But I had already seen the chair. So for Colleen Quinn, they had put up the chair. Which was like, yeah, you'll forever have the best seat in the house or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's odd. Like, maybe it's her birthday or something. And then, yeah, finding out and slowly realizing that Greg had already been there. And I was like, oh, they have, like, all the stuff on their shirts and everything. And slowly realizing that she wasn't there, which was the biggest surprise of all. And that, obviously not a happy standout memory, but definitely, like,
powerful.
Yeah, something that will forever kind of stick out, I think, about this, the end of this season, and then having them go out and do what they did in that game in particular, and then winning the Western Mass title for the third straight year. So that one, definitely, yes, a standout memory from spring that will linger.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think one more for me was, this was just kind of a really fun memory. In the fall season, I'm covering Pittsfield Wakona boys soccer at Curvin Park. And this kid for Pittsfield, whose name I'm now forgetting, but they called him Chi-Chi, who is Colombian, and he scores a bicycle kick. And it's like, how often do you see a bicycle kick in high school soccer? You know, that's incredible. I think he might have had two goals in the game. And so Pittsfield wins, I don't know, 4-0 against Wakona. And so I talked to Drake Thompson and I talked to Chi-Chi after the game, and they go, oh, he doesn't speak English. He's like straight from Colombia. And I go, oh, well, you know, we'll figure it out. And so one of his teammates who was bilingual just came over, you know, and so I asked the question and the kid translated it, and then Chi-Chi gave him the answer, and then he gave it back. And it was just like, it was cute, you know, like the teammates kind of did that organically. They weren't just going to be like, let him, you know, flounder out there. You know, one of them just like, yeah, you know, said something to him in Spanish, and they both came out. And so, yeah, it was really cool, both to see what he could do on the soccer field, because he was lightning fast and he made a bicycle kick, but also that he then would just, you know, the team would kind of give him that, you know, like, you know, you're a part of the team. We're going to help you out when the someone from the Berkshire Eagle wants to talk to you. So yeah, that was very, very cool. Yeah, a very, very fun moment. And I think he was only a sophomore, so hopefully there are more bicycle kicks
that'd be cool.
in his future at PHS.
That'd be cool. Speaking of soccer, big win last night.
Big win last night for the U.S. Balogun got jobbed by with the red card.
That's what I heard, yeah.
It was terrible. But the free kick was beautiful.
Looked like they play Monday?
I think so.
Big.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for sticking with us this season, this year. We will be back in the end of August, so appreciate it. We will now get to sleep in on Thursday mornings. Have a good rest of your day, your summer. Try and beat the heat. And signing off. Take it easy.